You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on February 21st, 2024, and is titled, Who Robbed Us? Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Colossians, and let's join Steve and the message.
Man is easily separated from his money. You just got to say the right stuff. So, yeah, I know how to fill a building. But if you really want to see people grow in steadfastness in their faith in Christ, to live in good order, church, good order. That's a husband and a wife and offspring. There's a good order where God is the head. There's a good order. That works for a youth group, school system, anything else. That works really good. When you get out of order, things kind of go down the poop trail. It's not good. He said, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Verse 8, but beware. Beware lest anyone cheat you. That word cheat in the proper text means to plunder you, to rob you, to take you captive through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the tradition of men and according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. If you saw Coffee with the Colonel this morning, I asked a couple questions. I said, how many of you in America today feel like you've been robbed? How many feel like you've been robbed of some of your freedom? How many feel like you've had an election robbed? Yeah. How many of you grew up in church and you've been told by pastors at the front that you've been robbing God? Come on, let's go ahead and do us a little Malachi 3 gig. Let's get it on. I listened to a guy double down on that again this week. I'll go back there in just a second. But you've been robbing God. When's the last time you heard somebody say that this man-made house of the Lord has been robbing you? I know a lot of people who go to church and a lot of people who profess Christ who walk around, look, act, and sound like they are very incomplete. He said right here, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. I've been given everything necessary for life and godliness. You see what happens to a guy, and I wish everybody could get it this way, and then I wouldn't wish this on anybody. You see, if you're just an old guy that grew up rough and you've had a lot of bad habits and whatnot, but you, for some odd reason, there's something good inside of you that just wants to leak out every now and then. You see, I try to keep the bad from leaking out now. Back then, I tried to keep the good from leaking out. There was some good in me. Somehow Jesus knew that. And so him and I had a visit in a pickup on the side of a road 28 years ago. I can't unknow that. You can never make me a non-believer because I know Jesus. Like I said, if I didn't know Jesus, I could be doing anything else. But though that I do know Jesus, I wouldn't have it any other way. And so when that happens, and then you're seeking the Lord, and I'm no different than anybody else, and I'm just kind of normal, but man, I want to know this guy that just forgave my sins in my pickup. First thing I do is get me a Bible, and I start going to church. And the first thing I notice, there's a lot of things going on in church that's not in that Bible. And even worse than that, a lot of things in that Bible that are not going on in that church. I do know one thing. They like money. They talked a lot about money. We had that discussion every Sunday over lunch. I'll never forget one Sunday. We left and we were new and they were having a building campaign. We had to build a new building because there were people that liked two different kinds of music. So we're going to have two different things on each end here and we got to build some more space because these people can't get along if we don't. That's really the truth of it. So we heard about that. My whole first few weeks of being saved, that's what we heard. So one day there's a steakhouse thing down there and everybody go on Sunday after church. And so we're headed down there and here's an old couple down here, got this old broke down van and they got a sign and they're needing some gas. These church people are blowing by them like they got leprosy. Whoosh. They headed to the steakhouse, man. Whoom, one right after another. It puzzled me. Because I'd already read Matthew 25. I hadn't been saved but just a few months. But I've been reading my Bible and it said, whatever you've done for the least one of these, you therefore done for me. So we were late to lunch. It worked out really good because all them other church people were kind of leaving. We could have a seat. And I questioned. And I questioned, and I questioned. I have never taken doing Christian for face value. A lot of it gets me upset. A lot of it gets me curious. And then you get to a place where you have to address the subject. The Bible says that the enemy comes first to steal. Have you been robbed? Are you complete? Have you realized the fullness of the kingdom of God, the one that's here, the one that's now, the one upon you, the one within you, and the one in hand? Do you personally know Jesus? Those are all great questions. So yesterday when I got to that part where it said, God, the Spirit is God, and the Spirit is truth. And I've been, all these other BBs been rolling around in my head, and I've been keeping it a secret. I just tell Robin so I don't get in trouble with anybody else. And then here we go. And I stop right in the middle of the deal. And here's where I need you to help me, because God, Rodney, I'm hating to spill this. I'm really hating to go here, but I'm going to do it, and I need your help because this is a struggle for me. For the last 3 years, you see, I know where the word Easter came from. I know that a Jew-hating individual 1,800 years ago devised a plan for Christians to separate themselves from the Passover. Passover is the key component to Christianity. It's everything. The observance of Passover from Exodus 12 to Leviticus 23 to 1 Corinthians 5. It's been a main staple of our house now for a long time because we understand not only the responsibility of Passover, but we also understand the benefits. In March of 2020, I stood in my office with my stick in my hand, and then I come up here, and I told everybody that we would observe the Passover, we'd be faithful to the Passover, we'd stand in faith to God, and we'd believe in the life, death, and resurrection. We'd believe in the deliverance of the Paschal Lamb. We'd believe that the blood of the Lamb was over the lintels of our houses, and we went to our households, and we believed, and we stood on the Word of God, and we presented ourselves for His potential. I don't know how many other fellowships there are in the state of Texas, but I know for 3 years this one did not lose one person to COVID-19. Not one. We weren't afraid. And we stood on the Passover. So for the last 3 years, what everybody wants to call Easter, which is named after a star, the fertility goddess, for the last 3 years, the calendar's kind of lined up. Passover's the same every year according to the Jewish calendar. It's the 14th day of Nisan, the first month of the Jewish calendar. So on the 14th day of Nisan, whatever that lines up with, a Gregorian calendar or a Julian calendar. You know, if you go by the Julian calendar, Jesus was buried. Jesus was crucified and buried on April the 3rd. That's my birthday. So I think we should just do that one. Let's just do April 3rd every year. But it's the 14th day of Nisan. So whatever day that lands on. But because of Constantine, which turned into the Roman Catholic Church, and their traditions of men, it's now the first full moon after the equinox, whatever the heck that is. And then now they've got another formula, so you can deduct a day or two here and there, and every 19 years you add a day or take away a day. Anyhow, there's some magic formulas because of some astrologers and some fancy guys, and they've figured out when we're going to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, where nowhere in the Bible does he say anything about celebrating his resurrection, but it does talk about observing the Passover. Three feasts that Jesus attended with his disciples was first the Passover, then 50 days later was the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost, and then in the fall they went to the Feast of Booths, Sukkot. So, the word feast means appointed time. So now this year I woke up in a mess. That's why I'm a mess. The last 3 years it's been easy to skate through this. Every time you tell me Happy Easter, I can just smile and nod my head, but I can still get the Passover in here. This year, they're 22 days apart. It looks like, according to all projections, that Easter is actually moving further away from Passover. Could be a real good chance. Real good chance. That modern day religion is actually moving further away from God. You see, Passover was never about a temple or a gathering. It was about your household. So, now what do I do? What would you do if you were me? I mean, what do you do? What do you do? For the last 5 years, I've done an Easter Sunday service, called it Resurrection Sunday, and I was here because the people expected me to be here. You ask her, there's not one of those days that I got up wishing I could participate in a religious holiday that was set aside by a Jew-hating monster named Constantine, that even some religious people hail him as a Christian because they put crosses on their shields, but was a total hater of Jewish people, would not allow any Christians to participate in Jewish things. And let me tell you, right up to his time, do you know what the early church did for the first 300 years? They observed the Passover. You know, the one you read about in Acts where 3,000 people get saved in one day? That bunch. The real ones. They observed the Passover. So, I'm just up here having confession. Because I'm in a little bit of a predicament. But I want my predicament to be a place where you can cast your cares. I'm not the first guy around here, and I'm not the first one in the sound of my voice that's had these thoughts. Talk these things. I know a guy that 2 years ago did what I'm contemplating doing. But I want you to name me one pastor you know within 500 miles of this place that ever skipped Easter. I don't know why they didn't. Because it sucks just thinking about it. So I'm over the next few days, I'm just going to be real honest. I'm not telling anybody what to do. I'm just telling you I got troubles. How do I settle this? I don't know what I'm going to do on March 31st. I do know here on April 22nd, that Monday, we're going to have somebody here to fix us a big meal. And I'm going to invite people to come from anywhere in the sound of my voice that want to share in the Passover. Oh, we're not going to have a Passover meal. We're going to eat food. Amen. We ain't having a Passover lamb. We're going to get some brisket. We're going to fellowship as the household of God. We're going to remind ourselves of the intricacies of the Passover. We're going to have an opportunity to present anything in our life or spiritual life that we would like to give to God for His potential. And we're going to take communion together and talk about the blood and the life of Jesus Christ. That part I know we are going to do. But I don't want to be robbed anymore by the traditions of men. It's like I told you just real quick, they double down every week on the message of the tithe, and they use the book of Malachi and bring it to the storehouse. You rob God and your tithes and your offerings. And I'm just curious, where in the world do you people live? Because there is no house of the Lord. There is no house of the Lord. In 70 AD, that temple was destroyed. Not one stone left on another. And he had already told them, he said, you destroy this temple, I'm raising it up in 3 days. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you not know you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? 1 Peter chapter 2 says, like living stones, you are being built into a spiritual house, a holy nation, a royal people, of people belonging to God. Acts 17, he said, God does not dwell in buildings built by human hands. So if I'm going to bring a tithe, which is 10% of your livestock or your crops, my question to that guy is, to whom? Because if you really know the kingdom of God, there's a heavenly tabernacle now. The Bible says so. If you just go read Hebrews 8, 9, 10, 11, it'll tell you all about the priesthood of Jesus and the true tabernacle, that everything was a foreshadowing. When that curtain was rent into it, Jesus' crucifixion, they entered into the Holy of Holies. 50 days after Passover, the kingdom of God was exposed by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We call it Pentecost. Pentecost has nothing to do with tambourines or speaking in tongues. It simply means 50. If you're over 50, you're Pentecostal. 50 days after Passover. So which will that be? Will it be? Because see, in modern Christianity, we can't even do 50 days. We got to do 49 because everything's based on a seven day week, because we got to do Sunday. Let me tell you something about Sunday right quick. If it was about Jesus, it'd be spelled S-O-N. Go investigate where that came from. I'm a horse sale auctioneer, so I've been lied to my entire life. But I don't want to be robbed. I don't want to be robbed. So bring it to whom? There is no earthly priesthood. Jesus said, I've become the high priest. I'm the priest. In the priesthood, in the order of Melchizedek, I've become a priest forever. The Bible says there is no mediator between God and man other than Christ himself. So when you're going to lie to me about the tithe, bring it to whom? Okay, let me cut off 10%. Bring it to whom? See, I'm just sharing some things that have just frustrated me. What am I supposed to do with this, y'all? I'm not normal. Should I just shut up and get along? Because let me tell you something today, and I'm glad we got some political people here today. This mess in America today is not on them. This is on us. Let me tell you why. Because the Passover, the ordinance of the Passover, he says, let this be an everlasting ordinance for this reason, that on this day, the 14th day of Nisan, you will tell your children what the Lord God has done for you. And when moms and dads quit telling their children in their households what the Lord God has done for them in the deliverance, don't be surprised if this Passover that is so far removed from Easter is not the beginning of the Exodus. The Lord told Abraham, the one he promised, I'm going to make you a great nation. Whomever blesses you, I will bless. Whoever curses you, I will curse. A cursed individual named Constantine invented our religious holidays to separate us from Passover? I'm having a hard time with that. I'm having a real hard time with that. And he told Abraham, get your family and come out. We all thought that meant come out of the world and go to church. But there's going to be an exodus. If there's a house of lies, there will be an exodus. My last story about Passover, and then y'all can help me or leave, or you can't fire me, but if we come back next Wednesday and none of you are here, I'll get the hint. I'll be glad to go home, mind my own business. I don't know if y'all remember there in March of, you know, March of 2020 was a key time in America and a great time. COVID-19 was terrible. But man, what a shaking and what a revealing. There's another shaking and another revealing coming. This one will be way bigger than the last one. It's only the kingdom of God that stands through these shakings. I explained this to the higher-ups at San Antonio last week. We had a little meeting. We got to talk about it because they hadn't had a horse sale. We did the last horse sale they had there was the first one we produced, and it was in February of 2020. We went and did it. It was a big deal. It was great. We didn't want to do it again. It was a killer. But we did it. 3 weeks later, none of us doing nothing. Everything shuts down. So they haven't had a horse sale since. Well, they resurrected a horse sale and they made it completely different. What a cool deal. Resurrected an old building, made it, did all kinds of neat stuff. So Cody, the guy that's in charge of the whole stock show, him and I are sitting there talking. And I said, let me tell you how this works. When you take what you have and you lay it up to the Lord in the Passover for its potential, you'll come out the other side and you won't even smell like smoke. It'll be new and it'll be different. That very Passover, I was teaching on Passover. That, right whenever that was in 2020. They had done shut down two of my horse sales. Robin and I had lost $85,000 of our own money in 2 minutes. We'd have been in the cattle business, so we didn't care. We was already practiced. We had done it a couple, three times. And we presented to the Lord, hey, can you do something with this? And that night while I'm preaching on the Passover and the Exodus, I knew, I told her that night, I said, it's time to get out of New Mexico. That horse sale, I've been running a horse sale for 30 years in New Mexico. It's time to go. Couldn't go. My partner in the horse sale owns the facility over there. We're stuck. By 9 o'clock the next morning, all entities involved had called me and said, we're going to have to move this horse sale to Levelland, Texas. The girl from Levelland running the building, she said, I've been waiting on you to call. We think you need to have your horse sale over here. And all of a sudden, we have an exodus. One of the coolest things that's happened in our life and for our family, not because of any financial gain, but we just love doing what we get to do. And we had an exodus. It was all in the Passover. And God spoke, and God did, and he did it in real life. You know he'll work in real life. He won't work in your religion. There are things that are an abomination to God, and you should study on them. I have. Therefore, I'm in a mess. So all I'm doing is just asking you to please indulge me while I work through my own issues. Give me direction. Give me correction. Shoot, if you want to, just give me a hug. Because I told Robin yesterday morning, I said, I'm way more afraid of skipping Easter than I am getting on that bucking roan horse. There's a knot in my belly right now that three of you could wear around. I'm not telling you to skip Easter. I'm just telling you to help me with my questions. But listen, church, if we as God's people won't look at ourselves, we're going to spend the rest of our life looking at everybody else. And looking at everybody else won't change a cotton-picking thing. Not one thing. Won't change your family, won't change your home, and it sure won't change our country. All I'm asking is I'm looking at myself going, what am I doing? And I just need you to help me look, okay? Anybody got anything you want to say about that tonight? And like I said, man, if you don't come back, we love you. But look, if you think this is a place where somebody might tell the truth, you bring everybody you can bring. And we'll stand together. We'll work together. We'll pray together. And we'll go live to the glory of God. And we will be observing God's Passover. Y'all good? Let's pray and quit. Lord, tonight I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I thank you for the things you present in our life. Oh, Lord, I know I gripe a lot about some of the hard stuff, but honestly, Lord, if we don't do the hard stuff, we're not going to do anything. Lord, help us all to take a good look at ourselves. Where are we really at with you, Jesus? Where are we really at? Lord, right now, our future looks like a disaster. Our nation looks like a disaster. And we need your help so bad. But I know that when it won't happen unless we turn it around here. We got to turn it around. So, Lord, if you'll speak to me, I promise to do whatever you tell me to do. And I promise to not do whatever you tell me not to do. Lord, help me to be gentle. Help me to be kind. Help me to be wise. Help me to be truthful. Help me to love till it hurts. All to your glory and the benefit of everybody in our lives, my family, friends, community, and country. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. God bless y'all.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.